Okay, here we go. Let's start in the lesson this morning. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 119. And this, we've been looking at fundamental, or what's that word mean? It means obvious Bible truths in the Bible and in God's Word. So a fundamental truth would be something that is through the Bible a lot, and it's, in other words, it's very hard to miss. So obvious truths in this morning's lesson is on the Bible. So look at Psalm 119, look at verse 89. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So God's word always has been in heaven. Good thought. Because see, how you view your Bible determines what you get out of it when you read it. If it's just oral tradition that, you know, Moses told a story of how they escaped Egypt and how they, and the miracles God did, and those have just been passed on, that's called oral tradition. If it's just oral tradition and history, well, then it's no different than any other book. But if it's a book that always has been, God declares His Word and teaches us forever, O Lord, His Word has been in heaven. Let me show you what that means. If you were looking at a timeline, 4,000 years, 6,000 years ago would be Eden. Before the cross, creation and Eden would happen back here. Then the world flooded. God flooded the world. Okay, Genesis chapter 6, Noah, right? The whole earth flooded, not just a local flood. And there's plenty of evidence all over the world to show that, okay? Then Abraham comes along. And what's Abraham? God, where God says, I'm going to choose a nation to work from to do what? The Jews would come from Abraham. But what's important about the Jews? God used the Jews to give us the scriptures. And what later? The Messiah. That's how come Jews aren't supposed to intermarry. Because God wanted to use their race to accomplish something. How come we as Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, right? How come we as Gentiles, the only commandment we're given is that we're not supposed to marry lost people. But interracial marriage is not forbidden for Gentiles, okay? It may not be your preference. Wait a second, that's your preference, but Gentiles can intermarry because there was nothing God was going to use any of our, let's use the word nationalities or races to accomplish. So Abraham, God chose Abraham to start the Jewish race, right? Or Jewish nation or Israel. And during that time, the oldest book in your Bible is the book of Job, okay? Or Job, however you want to pronounce it, okay? But Job, because of, if you need the references, that's not, I don't want you to get too bogged down this morning, but Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Then about 450 years later, God uses Moses to pen the first five books of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Job would be put in that. All I'm trying to get across to you this morning is, how did God give us the Bible? He used the Jew. Only Jews wrote the scripture. Okay? You say, well, what about Job? How did God use a Jew to pen back here? Because these scripture here, Genesis 22 and Jeremiah 25, show that Elihu, who penned Job, was a relative of Abraham. Okay? So that's interesting. As far as, no, God used the Jews to give us the Bible. Then, as time goes on, 39 books in the Old Testament, given all through the Jews. They go into captivity. Last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, 400 silent years, and then the Lord Jesus comes. Time is centered around that, and 27 books in the New Testament, Matthew to Revelation. So, ends up this way. Here's the sum. God used 40 men, a period of over 1,500 years, to give us 66 books. And God said, when Revelation 22, 18, and 19 was done, don't add to it. In other words, the book is closed. There's nothing more that's supposed to be added to it. And spooky people and weird people say, God's given me a word and all this other stuff. No. The canon is closed. what God has to say to man is in the Bible given to us. It's complete. So, Hebrew, Chaldean, four languages that you got of the Old Testament. Normally it's going to be Greek in the New Testament. Who cares? All I'm trying to show you is, watch this. Now that I showed you a little period of the Bible, watch. What our verse say? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That means before Revelation, before Revelation was given, the last book of the Bible, Genesis and Job were already in heaven before it was ever penned. That's why you have to view your Bible. God declares it. That book, if you have a King James Bible, it always has been. It's as eternal as God. That's not a stupid, spooky thought. That book, if you don't view it as God's Word, if it's just, once again, if it's just history, if it's just, well, Paul said, and well, Isaiah said, and well, Matthew said, if it's just a book of men, then where's the authority? It has to be as God has declared it. So God has told us, first of all, that book, if you have a King James Bible, has always been. There never was a time that it was not. Now, why is that important? I don't want to lose you, because I don't think this isn't so deep nobody can't follow it. But when you're doing a lesson on the Bible, it's an eternal book. Okay, here, watch this. Go to Psalm 12. You're in Psalm 119. Go to Psalm chapter 12. How did God give His word? God spoke it and man wrote it. It is not this way. God gave the thoughts and then man wrote out what his thoughts were about God's thoughts. God dictated His word. God said, take this down. Think about it just for a second. When God used Moses to pen Genesis, Genesis is going to cover creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Moses wasn't there. That was God telling Moses how He created the earth. It wasn't Moses going, well, we heard it happen this way. God said, write this word, in. Now put a space. The. Now put another space. Beginning. God dictated His word to Moses. Then, going all the way through, Moses wasn't there when the earth flooded and Noah built the ark. That was God telling Moses how He flooded the earth and why He flooded it. So the words were given by God through man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost is the scripture that we use. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Okay, here we go. I don't want to cover that with you. I just want you to think about it just for a second. God used men to pen His word like you would use a typewriter or a computer to type a letter. When you type something out or you have something typed out, the computer or your typewriter doesn't sign the letter, right? You do. The computer was a tool used to pen the letter, right? Men didn't write the Bible. They penned it. God wrote it. Okay? Does everybody understand? That's important. In other words, because watch what God says in Psalm 12. Look at Psalm 12, verse 6. Ready? Psalm 12, 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. What's pure mean? Without admixture. So God tells us the words of the Lord are pure. That means there's no words of man in it. It's not like 99% God's word and 1% man's word. It's pure. And when you look at two other places, in Proverbs 30, verse 5, the words of the Lord are pure. They're pure words. And then Psalm 119, 140 says, thy word is very pure. All I'm trying to get across to you is that book you have in your hand is supernatural. It's from God. It's of God. Everything God does, He does through His word. That's how He created. He speaks things into existence. Only God can do that. He spoke them through His word. So watch this. Look at Psalm 12, right? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them. Who's the thou? The Lord. The Lord keeps them. What's the word keep mean? It means to guard, right? Like a goalkeeper in hockey. They keep or protect the goal. Thou shalt keep or protect them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That verse is so important. Because see, here's the whole issue. Ready? If God gave His Word in Hebrew, and then through thousands of years, it was copied, and then it went from Hebrew to now in your Bible, English, then surely there was some things lost. Okay, think with me just for a second. They're really thinking because it went from Hebrew to English that things are lost. Whose idea was the languages of the world? God. Genesis 11. Because before the Tower of Babel, after the flood, the whole earth was of one language. Everybody on the earth spoke the whole one language, right? Then God divided the whole idea of nations and boundaries. That's all God's idea. So God confused the people so they couldn't understand each other, and you only had pockets of people. So where did all the languages of the world come from? God did that. Okay, wait a second. When He comes to reign someday, I'm doing this. He was crucified here. Let's go 2,000 years. When Jesus reigns for 1,000 years, what happens? The earth goes back to one language, right? Anybody remember how many languages there are in the world? 160, 100 and something. Anyways, there's a lot of languages. God doesn't struggle with language. We do, okay? But that their whole argument is, well, it started in Hebrew and the originals are in this language, and to go to English, whose job is it to preserve God's Word? God. God doesn't struggle with that. Because of verse 7, ready? I think it's so important for you to understand this. Because of verse 7, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. Anything man has tried to do to the Bible, change it, destroy it, God has always preserved His Word, because that book is the only way you can know God. You can't know God through your feelings or your emotions or experiences. That's called mysticism. Okay? When the Bible doesn't matter, or I saw God in a vision, or I saw a bright light or a tunnel, that's mysticism. We don't do that. How can we stay safe and protect ourselves from the devil's deceptions? Just stick with the book. If it's not in the book, why? Because God preserved His Word. Now, let me make another statement. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. God protects His Word and God preserves His Word. Since it was pure, like we read in verse 6, Thy Word is very pure. The Word of God is pure. And God preserves it, keeps it free from error. Then watch this. I love this. I'm preaching from the same book that Jesus preached from when He was here. Well, that was in a different language. That was in Greek, and you got in English. I'm telling you, because God preserves His Word. If you have a King James Bible, you have the same scriptures. Here, let's go back further. I have the same Bible God gave Moses. Well, that was in Hebrew. Whose job is it to preserve God's Word? God promised to, right? That doesn't mean every Bible is pure. When you go to the bookstore, 90 different versions you can pick from, right? If you don't have, all you have to know about the version issue, all you have to know is this. I'm not going to, let's call this original, okay? And I don't care if it's Hebrew or Greek. Watch this. As God gave it in the Old and the New Testament over 1,500 years, you only have two paths. This is it, okay? You have the good. Let's just call, without getting into it. This is good Manu scripts. I can sound it out, phonics, okay? And let's call this corrupt manuscripts. All you need to know about your King James Bible is there's only one Bible that comes from the good manuscripts. That's it. There's not three Bibles to choose from. All the other Bibles, all 89 of them, if you go to the Christian bookstore, all of them come from this line. Let's just put all others. Now, if you want to get deeper than this, we have been deeper in it on our website. I've got 16 lessons on the King James Bible. But all you have to understand about the King James Bible issue is this. There's only one Bible. That's why it's the authorized King James Bible. What's authorized mean? Doesn't it sound like the word authority? That's how come none of the other Bibles would sell in 1933 until they started changing. You know how people used to refer to it? It was take your authorized version. Nobody called it the King James before 1933. It was the authorized Bible. But because the other Bibles wouldn't sell, they changed it to the King James version so that the other versions would start selling. And so that's only what? That's not even 100 years old yet, right? That's good to know. All I'm trying to let you know this morning is if you have a King James Bible, you have God's pure, preserved words. Let me tell you how pure it is. We'll keep on going with this. This is such a beautiful lesson. If I can put you in awe at that book you have in your hands, I would hope it would help you read it better. Amen? I would hope you would ask God when you open it up, Lord, I have your word. I can't understand it without you. So please teach me as I read. Right? God, please help me. Now, here, the King James Bible, your Bible is so pure. I believe this. If I was a missionary, I don't care going to Russia or China or Japan, or it does not make any difference. This Bible is so pure. I don't have to go back here and study the Greek to then go into the language I want it to. I can read from the King James, and many missionaries, when they go to tribes. Did you know when they go to a tribe in South America or Africa or that can't write, you know what the first thing they do? They teach the tribe, you got to come up with a written language, right? Then they have to learn how to read their language. Then you teach them English and you translate the Bible into English. And you understand? It takes around 7 or 8 years. Then they can see the Bible and they get saved. Now, they can still preach it, right? Because everybody's learning the language. I'm just telling you, that book you have in your hands can go from English to another language. That's how pure it is. You don't have to go back. Well, we look at the Hebrew and we look at the... You don't have to do that because God has preserved His Word. Now, God's Word always has been. It's eternal. Okay, the grass fadeth and the flower fadeth and the grass withereth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's eternal, not one jot or tittle will pass. I already told you God used the Jews to pen His word. It is interesting, out of the Jews there was only one tribe, Levites. They were the only ones that were allowed to copy the Bible. The only ones. Not just because you were a Jew didn't mean you could copy Scripture. Only the Levites could do that. That keeps you from the corruption of... Then I told you God wrote His word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I showed you Psalm 12. God preserved His word. God's word is pure. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. In the New Testament, back near Revelation, 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. So the Word of God is the seed that borned you again, that saved you. The seed is the incorruptible, pure, pure words of God that God has kept. When you believed those words, that's why the first step to getting saved is you, where's the authority? You have to believe the Bible's God's Word. The man that taught me soul winning, Leroy Bowron, one of the men, Gene Johnson, and whenever we'd meet a Marine and the Marines had come upstairs, Leroy'd always pull his New Testament out of his pocket. He'd lay it right before the Marine. He'd say, "What have you heard that book called right there?" He said, "You've heard it called the Word of God." They'd always say, "Bible." He said, "Have you heard it called the Word of God?" He said, "God wrote that book." Then he said, "Do you believe that? That this is God's word?" He said, "Good. Now I can show you how to go to heaven." I remember there was only one Marine that said he put his Bible. He did the same thing to every Marine that came up there. He said, "What have you heard that book called, son?" He said, "Oh, it's just the words of man." Leroy put the Bible back in his pocket and said, "Well," he said, "then you can't be saved." What is foundational? You have to believe that God wrote the book. This is the authority. It's not the words of men. It's the word. It starts with, I believe that book is God's word. Then Watch this. Looking for it. So it's the seed. You're there in First Peter chapter 1. Being born again, or saved, or rebirthed, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You were born by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that eternal book is what rebirthed you. When you believed that book and you saw that God died for you, the one that created you died for you, and you put your faith in him, that is what saved you. Right? And that's how come, as you read your Bible, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you believed the Bible, that you know what the beautiful truth is? That book, if you have a King James Bible, it's not that you can't be saved if you have other Bibles. But to compare other Bibles to the King James is like comparing a King James, a steak, a 2-inch porterhouse. Amen? USDA choice. Done just right, to a can of beef and noodle, Campbell's beef and noodle soup. Is there enough meat in the other versions, some of them, to get saved? Yes. But my goodness, why ride a tricycle when you can get on a Kawasaki and let the good times roll? Amen. That's an old stupid statement. Okay, all right, here we go. So watch this. That book is what saved you, right? That's why that Bible's so important. It is what God... You believed it, then God gave you his grace and saved you and birthed you again. It was of that book. That's why that book is so important. That's 1 Peter 1:23. Then watch this. So we're born again or saved by that book. Now go to Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. We could go to several other places. This is a quote of Deuteronomy 8:3. Matthew 4:4. Watch this. Okay. Jesus is being tempted by the devil, and Jesus uses what to fight the devil? The Bible, his God's word. Ready? So Matthew 4:4, and it says, but he, Jesus, answered, he's answering the devil, and said, it is written, or the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What's the next thing I can teach you about the Bible? Number one, it comes from God if you have a King James Bible. Number two, that book is what saved you. If you're saved, it is because of the words of that book. Number three, it is that book that feeds you after you get saved. It saved you, and then that's a Bible study like this. We're looking at a topic this morning. In just a little bit, we're going to go in to the sermon, and we're going to look at a chapter this morning, and we're going to read it together, and I'm going to lead you in a way of thinking about it. That book is what feeds us. Amen? That's why I love telling stories. I can give you illustrations like I just did about Leroy Bowron, and I'll do it to try to help you understand, but bottom line is, what feeds you spiritually is the book that saved you. Amen? That's why it's so important. Here we go. Christian, that's why it's so important that you read it. If the only time you read is when you come to church, think about it, 168 hours in a week, we're here this morning for, what, 2.5 hours? We'll be here tonight for an hour and a half. Add that on, that's what? That's another four hours. Put Wednesday night in there, hour and a half. If you're only in church for 5.5 hours a week, another 168 hours? If you physically ate like you spiritually eat, you'd starve to death. Amen? Aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? When Jesus saved you forever. But what did God give you? That's why that Psalm 90, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty, secret place, your quiet place, your time when you read your Bible. It's so important because it's what feeds us. And so God's word is what feeds you. How about this? Go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. You know what's sad about the internet is it puts you in so much contact with garbage. There's a lot of good preaching, but most people, if you would just learn to do this before you dive into some smooth talker on the internet that's correct in the Bible, using a different version, ask me, hey, pastor, do you know anything about so-and-so? Or I found so-and-so on the internet. There's so much good preaching on the internet. I can direct you to a lot. I've got over 2,000 sermons on my computer. I can burn you a CD of 50 of them. It'll take you all week to listen to them. Amen. Take you all month. Amen. I'm just saying, on the internet, you know what they do? They try to intellectually intimidate you and tell you, oh, you're a King James Bible only. Oh, that's so sad because, you know, there's words there that are translated that, you know, and they're going to play the language game, right? Oh, well, it comes from this and it goes to this. And so unless you got the originals that they've never seen, here's the whole name of the game. They'll get you to, listen closely, they'll get you to doubt your Bible. Because they'll say, well, you know, the King James Bible, it has mistakes in it. It has no mistakes in it. But they'll show, and the number, the only thing they go to is numbers from different battles. That's the only thing they take you to. So they'll use a few different numbers to say, see, there's contradiction, and there's no contradiction. It just requires more study, okay? Let me just, ready? Stay with me. They'll try to get you to doubt your Bible, and then when you ask them, I don't care, name any of the Bible correctors, John MacArthur, James White, any of that garbage that's on the internet. When they take your Bible and say, see, this is a King James Bible, this has errors in it, then when you ask the question, okay, then what Bible can I use that's God's perfect, pure word? They have nothing to give you. They're not interested in replacing your Bible. They're interested in taking your Bible. That's what's sad. Just as long as you, I don't, somebody said, well, can you teach me how to battle these people that are on the internet and how to return, you know, comments and how to, I don't read the Bible like they do. It's not the words of men. It's the word of God. It's eternal. It's what God promised me. They read the Bible totally different. They read it to find errors in it. I don't read it to find the errors. I am not supposed to correct the Bible. God's design is if this is God speaking to me, then it is to correct me. I'm not supposed to correct it because it mentions something that might change my lifestyle. That's why, you know, I've had preachers say, you know, boy, you sure do know a lot about the Bible. Can you teach me how to argue with these people that don't? I said, leave them alone. Let the blind lead the blind. Let the dead bury their dead. I don't want to read the Bible like they do. That book you have in your hands is the pure words of God. It is, when you read it, it's God speaking to you. God is talking to you. And, well, I love this. To me, that's the sign of a safe church. Amen. As long as you're always pointed to that book, read the book. Read the book. Study the book. Nobody here knows too much about the book. Amen. Nobody here, praise, self included, nobody here has read the book too much. Amen. And it's the only way you know God. You won't find God through videos. You find God through His Word. Amen? That keeps us safe from false doctrine, from false teaching, right? And it keeps us focused on what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? That book you have in your hands is a miracle. Look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Ready? Look at verse. Watch this. I'm going to read verse 1, but 2. I will praise Thee with my whole heart before the gods. Will I sing praise unto Thee? Notice it's interesting word, small g. Small g gods. So we serve a God of gods and Lord of lords, a capital G God. What are all other gods? Demons, devils, right? Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. Neat verse. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness. And for Thy truth, watch the last phrase of verse 2. For Thou, the Lord, hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. God. What's the word magnify? It doesn't mean lift up. It means to make bigger, right? If you put a magnifying glass over something, you're making something small bigger, right? God magnifies His word above all His name. What's a name? When you tell me your name carries with it your reputation. Okay? So, God's name is how He wants you to know Him and who He is. Well, what's God's name in the Bible? He's God. He's Lord God. He's Lord God Almighty. He's Lord of hosts or Lord of battles. He's the everlasting God. He's Judge. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the Most High God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is I am that I am. What's I am that I mean? That means He doesn't dwell in time. He's the ever-present tense God. He has no yesterday or tomorrow. He always has been. He is I am. And He is Abba Father. There's many more names. Watch this. God says He has magnified or made larger His word above all His name. That's why I'm telling you, yes, we learn God through His names, but how you learn God and seek God and know God and learn God is through that book. God has magnified His word. What a verse. When I candidated at a church in Hagerstown, I think it was two churches before I came here, it was all over the phone. They did a pastoral interview with me, and they said, "What do you believe about the Bible?" And they ended up sending me a piece of paper, and so I typed it out. I believe the Bible is God's perfect, pure word without error in the King James Bible. And you know what they sent me back? They sent me back a letter that said, "We believe your stance on the Bible is extreme. God bless you as you seek for God's will." Okay, thought. Ready? How can you be extreme about this book? I would think as a pastor, the more you stand on it, the more you believe, the safer you are, right? Not, well, you know, it's that book plus my thoughts. That ought to give you the heebie-jeebies. Because I've been wrong before, but that book's never been wrong. Amen? That's why that God magnifies or makes bigger His word above His name, which is we're saved in the name of Jesus, we're baptized in the name of Jesus, right? We're healed in the name of Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus, and yet God magnifies His word above all His name. What a book. What a book we have in our hands. Amen. It is time to dismiss, gang, that book. I hope I read it. Amen. This morning, I hope the sermon kind of helps a little bit with our reading it. But we need to take those back tables back there. The back three need to be folded up. We'll get this room ready.